How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Tons of news to talk about here today on the show. It's Tuesday. We're back here in Seattle. We're ready to go. The phone number, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. On the docket today, we've got Monday Night Raw from last night. A lot of matches set up for SummerSlam already. 5 matches. We are 3 weeks away. We can talk about those matches. There's another one that is going to be set up tonight. So far, we've got Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, 4-way for the WWE title. We have Naomi Natalya for the SmackDown Women's title. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley for the Raw Women's title. Jinder Mahal will be defending his title against either John Cena or Shinsuke Nakamura. We're going to find out tonight after they face off on SmackDown. Neville will be defending the title against either Arya Daivari or Akira Tozawa. That match will be taking place tonight on 205 Live to determine who is getting the championship match. It's going to be very interesting, as we'll talk about after the break, what's going on with John Cena. Is he going to be getting the championship match or not? There may be extenuating circumstances. We'll talk about that after the break. We also have some notes on the WWE UK champion, Pete Dunne, who is doing matches in various places not involving WWE. Obviously, it's WWE working agreement, but it appears that now there is no rush and there may not even be a UK television show, despite the fact that a few months ago they announced it was going to be starting at any time. Well, it's not, so we could talk about that here today. More on the weekend if you've got thoughts on UFC 214. We've got a very interesting headline at MMA Fighting as it regards the Mayweather-McGregor fight. All sorts of stuff, and we are going to kick it off after the break, so stick around, Wrestling Observer Live. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Lots of stuff to talk about here today on the show. Last night's Raw, we got SmackDown here tonight. SmackDown's going to be very interesting because the, I presume, main event. I don't even know anymore. After last night, Big Cass and the Big Show main evented, and Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman, who are headlining SummerSlam, were in the middle of the show. I don't even know anymore.
Makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, well, see, we've turned it into now Saturday night's main event, except for, hey, we know you're tired of us, and you're going to turn us off by 11 or by 10 o'clock, so here's this, you know, because you're just not going to be able to stick with us any longer, we know. So
there's a flaw in your theory.
Really?
Yeah. The flaw is that Raw runs 8 to 11, mm-hmm. and it used to always run 9 to 11, and the 11 o'clock hour always did great.
Well, it used to.
Or the 10 to 11.
That was before 3 hours.
Well, the point of this is, the third hour would do fine if it didn't suck. But the problem is, a lot of times it sucks. Now, anyway. So tonight, presumably, the main event of the show is going to be John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And the winner faces Jinder Mahal for the WWE title at SummerSlam. Now, here's what's interesting about it, and I don't even know the answer to this, knowing this information, but there is a new film that is in production, Transformers Bumblebee. And John Cena has gotten not just a role, but he has gotten a lead role in that film. So, suffice to say, if he's got a lead role in this new movie, this new Bumblebee, this new Transformers spinoff, I mean, John Cena is not going to be on television hanging out doing matches while this movie's in production. I mean, once they need him, he's out until production has wrapped. So the big question here is, it's in production now. He's a lead. When do they need him? Well, if they need him like tomorrow or next week, then Nakamura is winning and it's Nakamura versus Jinder at SummerSlam. If they don't need him, if he's going to be heading out, if they say, okay, we're gonna shoot your stuff, but you're cool until after SummerSlam, then he's probably going to win, and they'll get the match over with now while they still can. Now, I don't know what the answer is. We're going to find out tonight one way or the other. But I will say that if you guys remember Hercules, I believe it was, Rock had a major role in that film, and he decided to do a WrestleMania match, and I think that was the match where he tore his ab.
Think so.
It could have been something else, but suffice to say...
And a hernia or something?
Yeah, he suffered a serious injury in that match, and they had to put the entire production of Hercules on hold. So, I mean, if it were me, and I was in charge of Transformers Bumblebee, which I wouldn't be, but if I were, I mean, I'm not sitting here going, John Cena, you're the lead. But you know what? Go ahead and wrestle for the next 3 weeks, including a main event at SummerSlam, against a guy who, I mean, the guy wouldn't know this, but, I mean, Jinder Mahal did give Finn Balor a concussion with one forearm. I mean, what I would say is, do this match tonight with Shinsuke Nakamura, and then you're out of there, dude. Let's get to work on this film right here. So we'll find out what they say, but that's what I'd say.
I guess so. Again, it just really comes down to when does the movie need him and when can he be used by WWE, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it's like the Brock Lesnar thing. I don't know what they're teasing, but they did a great job teasing something last night without really ever mentioning John Jones and Brock at all there when it came to the promo, just that he would be gone if he loses at SummerSlam, and that's that. And now we have a little bit more intrigue thrown on a main event that I know it could simply end with Roman Reigns getting the win and walking out of there as the champion, but still, it actually is a fun build leading into this thing.
You know, there's a lot of ways they can go with Lesnar at SummerSlam. If you didn't see the show last night, I mean, they're very... I mean, it's patently obvious what they're teasing here if you know the story, which, I mean, they may as well say it because, I mean, who doesn't know the story right now? But John Jones wants Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar wants John Jones. So they without saying the name John Jones or UFC, although Paul Heyman did throw out the word Ultimate, I mean, Paul's pretty much saying, if this guy loses at SummerSlam, he's going to leave WWE. They're teasing that if Lesnar gets screwed out of the title here in this four-way, he's quitting, and he's going to go fight for UFC.
And Paul made sure he noted that he would go with him.
Now, what's interesting about this is, I mean, as of right now, unless... I mean, I'm pretty sure as of right now, like 99% positive, Lesnar still is not in the USADA pool. Lesnar has still not retired. Now, until he retires, I mean, the clock hasn't even started yet. He's 5 months away... the moment that he enters the USADA pool. He doesn't need to lose at SummerSlam, especially since they're doing two pay-per-views a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two things that they could do. Number one, they could have it made up in their mind that, okay, you're not making December. Vince could say, I don't want you fighting in January. I don't want this screwing up Mania. Like, the earliest you're going to fight is, you know, after WrestleMania. So that would be like June or July of next year. Maybe International Fight Week. If that's what Vince has decreed, then they can play this up that, oh my God, Lesnar's going to lose at SummerSlam, and then he's going to quit and go fight John Jones. Because most fans, I mean, they don't know what's going on. They don't know about the suspension in the window. All they know is the guys want to fight each other. So,
or Brock's contract status with WWE.
Whatever, yeah. They can make you believe that he's going to lose, and then he doesn't. So that's one direction they could go.
Mm-hmm.
The other direction they could go is they make it real. Supposedly real, and Lesnar loses at SummerSlam, and then the very next day he jumps into the USADA pool, and they play it up like he's left, he's quit, he's out of here. And of course he would come back because he's under contract, and he would have to fight or, you know, wrestle the majority of the remainder of his contract or whatever. But there are two ways it could go, and I don't know which way it's going to be.
Yeah, and there's lots of fun sub-stories off of this thing too, because, you know, as soon as Brock and John Jones started to become a rumor, there were people thinking, okay, well, you know what? Samoa Joe was treated pretty good against Brock Lesnar. Maybe Paul can turn on Brock Lesnar. Now Paul has decreed, well, he'll walk. Now, can we believe that while Brock Lesnar is away? He did it before and he went away, but does he do it again this time? Especially when you have a guy like Samoa Joe that could be on his scent, who would actually, you know, really benefit from having Paul Heyman around. It would be a cool little fit. Could you go that way? Does Braun win the title? I mean, everybody's talked about who's beaten Roman Reigns. But then Roman Reigns won last night in their three-way, which is not something they usually do either. So who knows? I mean, there's a million one directions this thing could go, and it's actually benefited from some real life stuff going on, but it's been taken care of well, and it's actually got some intrigue going into what is the second or third biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Oh, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, this is Kevin from Germany.
Yes, Kevin.
I have a question concerning Bring It to the Table. Do you have any numbers on how many people watch this show on the network?
Well, I don't have numbers, but I can tell you that it hasn't been canceled yet, and so people are watching it because they have...
Because...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Because this time it really got onto my nerves. I mean, I subscribed to the network even when it wasn't able to subscribe to it in Germany via proxy and stuff. I know this is kind of illegal, but I don't care. But this is ridiculous. How can WWE do a show where they make fun of the hardcore fans that invest into this company, even if it's only $9.99 a month? Because I don't know if any casual fan knows what they are talking about. I mean, this is basically Wrestling Observer video in a way, because they are talking about things that Dave wrote about and you talked about, and only we understand, we who listen to your shows and read the Observer. And they're making fun of us all the time. And I was baffled, and this week was the first time in all those, I don't know, 3 years that the network is available, that I really thought about canceling, because I just couldn't take it anymore. This is just ridiculous what they are doing there. So I needed to get this off my chest.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, it is bizarre. I mean, the hardcores are watching this, and they are. They are in a lot of ways burying the hardcores. But I think in their minds, they're not burying the hardcore fans. They're burying guys like me, Dave, Mike, etc. And do fans want to watch that? I don't know, but I'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live. All right, a lot to get into here. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So as it regards this Bring It to the Table deal, I think the whole thing is, yeah, there are hardcore fans that watch the network, obviously. And there are hardcore fans that listen to this show. But I don't know if you've noticed this or not, if you've gone online, but there are a lot of hardcore fans that don't like myself or Dave, the Dirt Sheet writers. And I believe that Bring It to the Table is WWE's, it's part of their cult-like mentality. It's very much, we've got to create this show, it's us versus them. These dirt sheet writers and podcast hosts, these cowards behind their computers. I mean, if you're a real WWE fan, I mean, you don't listen to these things and read these things. I mean, you get all your information from us, WWE. And so I think that that's the whole idea behind the show. But, I mean, people watch it. I don't know the numbers, as I noted, but there are a lot of WWE Network shows that are being axed. I mean, maybe not permanently, but there's a lot of shows. I mean, we already know about Renee Young's show, Talking Smack, which apparently they called SmackDown Live for an entire show. SmackDown Live has not been canceled. I think Ride Along is no more for a while. So, yeah, there are cuts. There are cuts everywhere in WWE right now. I mean, there are cuts everywhere. There probably will at some point be talent cuts, but I mean, aside from like that, I mean, in every area of the company, there has been some downsizing. So that includes a lot of shows on the WWE Network. Now, a couple of quick things. Last night, we were talking about on Observer Radio, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you're not into us versus them, Dave and I were talking about Raw, and I noted that, in my opinion, having been a worker who separated his shoulder, I thought that Bayley separated her shoulder last night in the match with Nia Jax. Now, the only update that I have today is that Bayley did hurt her shoulder, but I don't know how bad it is. I know that during the match, the referee did communicate with the back, and her shoulder was hurt. They asked if she could finish the match, and she said that she was fine to finish the match, and she did. So presumably it'll be evaluated, and hopefully it's nothing serious. But as someone who's separated his shoulder, I mean, I thought immediately when she got thrown outside, Nia threw her, and she just landed right on her shoulder and rolled outside and started selling her shoulder from that point forward. If you watch a lot of wrestling, WWE, I mean, yeah, heels work over babyface shoulders and that sort of thing, but usually you run them into the post, they go for a charge, and they miss, and they hit the buckle. I mean, this was, she got thrown outside, and she sold her shoulder. And then later, which looked arguably even worse to me, Nia lifted her up in one of those big chicken wing gimmicks, and she just tossed her down, and Bayley's arms are behind her, so she landed right on her shoulder on the mat. And at that point, in a match that already had no heat, she rolled outside, and she just sat there for like 30, 45 seconds. The match was just dying a death at this point. So anyway, that's the story there, and hopefully she'll end up all right. And finally here, before we get going again, the person who alerted me, our phones are fixed, by the way. I had the 844 number directed to Byline, but it's now fixed, so you can give us a call. He notes, of the 7 matches on Raw last night, 6 of the 7 were interrupted by commercials. Other than the triple threat, which went 14 minutes, all others were in the 7 to 9 minute range. No excuse for this happening. Yeah, that's pretty horrible. Mm-hmm. That is pretty bad. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, guys. This is Daniel from Greensboro, North Carolina. How are you?
Yes, Daniel.
So a few real quick things. Actually, on the after show last night, I can't even think of what bring it to the table. It's funny because it almost makes UFC look bad. They almost led up to the John Jones things without ever mentioning Jones actually won Saturday night. So the first thing I thought of was this thing was taped before Saturday night. They knew what was going to happen. I'm not saying the UFC match was fixed or whatever, but it was almost funny how, like, it was almost a UFC storyline leading into a WWE storyline.
Well, hold on. One thing real quick. That very well may have happened because the thing is, they could have taped the entire show, and if something would have gone wrong and Jones would have lost or they wouldn't have interviewed him afterwards or whatever, they could have just not put the show on the network. I know I could tell you for a fact that over a week ago, this was before the fight, and I mentioned this on the air, I'd pretty much been told that the Jones-Lesnar thing is real, and the fight is going to happen if he beats Cormier. So they could have presumed that he was going to win the fight, shot the entire thing right there, had it all ready to go, edited, and good to go for the network, and the ability to just pull it if something went wrong and everything that had been planned with the call out and whatever didn't happen.
And how long was the part of the show? Because they could have just recorded another 5 minutes on something else too that
sure.
They could have just slid in there.
Yeah, it was quick, but it was just interesting how they had both quotes after Saturday night, but they never they just showed them like up on the screen, but they never actually read out the quotes. Since Battleground, I am excited for the WWE. Like, I think Raw's been good and SmackDown's been good, but it's almost like I'm just expecting for it to get screwed up.
because sometimes that happens, often.
Yes, like Shinsuke and Cena tonight, I fully expect the Singh brothers to ruin it. Owens and AJ Styles, I fully expect something screwed up to happen there. Yeah. And Mike said it earlier, I would put Paul Heyman, turn on Brock with Paul Heyman and have him go with Braun Strowman instead of Joe, because you guys said it last night, Samoa Joe doesn't need a mouthpiece. He's absolutely killing it on his promos, and if they're not going to turn Roman, why put Paul with Roman?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. A couple of things on that. First off, as far as the Nakamura-Cena match tonight, let's just say that John Cena, I mean, he's done after tonight. Let's just say that's the case. I don't know if it is. He may be done after SummerSlam. I mean, he's done at some point because he's going to go make this movie. The thing you got to remember about John Cena is John Cena is like a big wrestling fan. I mean, he's a really big fan, and he wants to have a great match with Shinsuke Nakamura. And I think that that's why we're getting this now before he goes and does this movie. Yeah, you could have the Singh brothers run in. You could do something. That's something that you would do if, for example, you were going to do a rematch or you were going to set up a three-way for the title or something like that. I mean, if he's leaving, then I think they go in there, they have a great match, and Nakamura beats him with the Kinshasa, and that's it. I think that's what we're going to get tonight. He's getting this match done while he can because he wants the match.
I like that. I'm completely fine with that. I like that. It's great for Nakamura, and you know, Cena could lose to anybody, and it really doesn't matter. He's Cena, so that's great. Now, obviously, that leads to now Jinder and Nakamura at SummerSlam, which would be a completely different story. We don't have to talk about that quite yet, because I bet you some people may be frustrated by what could take place there, which would be Jinder continuing on his reign as champion, but we'll actually have to see.
He's gonna.
It's one thing, too, also, and I know this isn't necessarily a New Japan versus WWE thing, because they are two completely different types of ice cream, depending on what you like, but one thing WWE, you know, when they're talking about matches and match quality and things like that, WWE, and talked about it on the show a lot, how many times have you seen a great match or a really good match take place between two guys you really like, and you have to accept the ending because it's WWE, and the ending usually sucks, and it usually doesn't make any sense, and they do that far too often. They have got to get out of the habit, and they're not going to, and it's I know I'm spitting into the wind here by saying this. You don't have to be New Japan. You're WWE. But you have to at least give some credibility to some of these finishes more and stop being so lazy with them and just actually have sometimes creative yet clean finishes instead of relying on so much nonsense.
Oh, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hi, this is Ishmael.
Yes, Ishmael.
Don't do it.
All right, so this call is basically to hopefully dispel the myth of the $1.3 billion number that's always thrown around with India in terms of the whole Jinder Mahal push. So these numbers are from Credit Suisse, which is a global financial service bank, one of the largest in the world. Okay, so here's the truth with the India market so they can stop throwing that number around. India's middle class is only 23.6 million people, okay, which is extremely low for their population. And to combine that fact, their middle class is based on the lowest threshold of the developed world, where their middle class, as opposed to the U.S., which is an annual income of $45,000-$55,000, in India, it's only $13,000 US. And that's $13,000 annual income for about 23 million people. These numbers are from 2010. Let's extrapolate, they had a 10% growth. They were talking about 25, 26 million people, and that's it, with purchasing power far, far lower than any other developed country's middle class. Is there a chance, this is the question here, is there a chance that the $1.3 billion number that's always thrown around was maybe the idea or the brainchild of someone within the company that pitched the idea to Vince McMahon, and perhaps he didn't do his reconnaissance, didn't do the deep digging into their actual economic buying power into the GDP, there's a chance Vince McMahon has sold a bill of goods and that this market is not nearly as large as they think it is.
I think he was sold a bill of goods. I don't know why Mike doesn't.
No, because I don't. Because they're not the only company who have big stars in their eyes over China and India, and it's not a matter of necessarily being sold a bill of goods exactly. It's just people's expectations and understanding of that market seem to be lacking. And like Shane McMahon going in with that pay-per-view venture in India or in China, there's been lots of stories like that from lots of people, with people trying to harness that market and seeing Modi there. And see, just again, there's a whole dynamic there that WWE is not alone in this. But I think what they've done and trying to push Jinder Mahal so hard in the way that they've done it is a mess, because they've got to think long term. And
well,
we got to head to a break.
We got to head to a break. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Yes, we are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here. Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a few things here. First off.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I know the guy's trying to say, and I know what you're thinking he's trying to say. I think there's miscommunication here.
I'm confused.
Yes. So here's what he's trying to say. I don't think that like he believes that some guy's coming in and he's pulling the wool over Vince's eyes to make a big payday, telling him to push hard into India, and he's just laughing his way to the bank. That's I think what you're interpreting
like it's a Simpsons episode of like he's confusing Monty Burns.
Selling him a bill of goods. But listen. Listen, Vince didn't wake up one day and like he goes online and his homepage is set to a random Wikipedia page and it comes up population of India and he goes, oh, gosh darn, 1.7 billion people or whatever. We need to go hard in India. I mean, somebody I mean, or a group or an organization or somebody said, well, you know what? There's a 1.3 billion people there, buddy. Like, what are we doing? We should be trying to do something here.
Now that, yeah.
And they should.
Business.
Like, who, why do we have callers and texters and emailers and the whole nine yards that, like, understand the actual demographics of India? And these numbskulls are going full bore in thinking there's 1.3 billion people with a median income of 650, I don't even know what, but they're all going to be buying this. It's preposterous. Everybody knows that except WWE. And by the way, got a tweet here from Laura. A very interesting question, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask what your numbers from India are for F4W? Is it 1.3 billion? Well, funny you should ask. I've gone up to our analytics here. And this is over the course of the last week, July 25 through July 31. I am proud to say that we have been visited by individuals from 182 different countries. Now, how many countries are there? Because WWE has some wacky number, but the real world has a different number. But people have found a way to get to the number that WWE says. Anyway, point of this is, let's see where India ranks right here. So,
did you know, I believe there's more people that use internet on mobile phones there than anywhere else?
I'm sure. I believe we have more people visiting our site on mobile than on desktop. But
Well,
let me get to my numbers here first.
Oh, I thought I was
I got them right in front of me. I don't need stalling.
Oh, sorry.
So, the United States provides 63.14% of our traffic. The United Kingdom, 13.44%. Canada, 8.63%. Our Aussie friends in Australia, 3.05%. Germany, 1.51%. And Ireland, 1.29%. Everything else is under 1% of our traffic. India does, in fact, rank number 7, however. A whopping 0.82% of our traffic comes from India. A lot of new sessions, by the way, in the last week from India. But still, a very, very small number. I am very proud to be able to say that we had one session from Samoa, one session from Tonga.
Hey.
And a number of others as well, including Sierra Leone. We got a visitor from
Sierra Leone.
Leone. Don't correct me, Mike.
Like T. Leone.
So there you go. That's the story of India. No one is visiting our site from India, and that's for free. Although we do have some Indian subscribers. But you can try and do some math there to try and figure out some magic. But anyway, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Hello. Oh, hello.
Hi,
my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Much better now.
Before I make my point, it's about this Jinder Mahal fell on this India nonsense that the WWE are on. Do you know what the two most popular sports are in India?
Well, there's cricket. And there's...
And another game called Kabaddi.
That's what I was going to say. Kabaddi.
It's the worst two sports in the history of the world.
Oh,
well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
We got listeners in the West Indies. Come on.
Even if these Indians had money, they wouldn't spend it on a great sport like professional wrestling. They would spend it on this nonsense.
Wow. Well, I'm sure they don't think it's nonsense. But I think your point stands that if they had the money, they would be buying the Cricket Network or the Kambadi Network.
Cricket is like, I don't know, it's like baseball in slow motion. And
that's impossible.
Kambadi's just like take for adults.
If baseball were in slow motion, it would go backwards.
That's what cricket does.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is there's just no hope for this network there.
There's none. And what makes it worse is I phoned up last week and I told you I'm not watching SmackDown until that Jinder fella's title is off him. And now tonight on SmackDown's John Cena and Nakamura, a match that I've waited years to see, and I'm going to miss it because of Jinder?
Well, you don't have to miss it. I mean, you can watch it.
You fast forward through the rest of the show.
Yeah, like you not watching it is not going to get the belt off Jinder. I mean... What you could do.
I'm not giving them any ratings.
Well, what you need to do is you need to watch just that match and then turn it off. So you know what that does? If you watch that match and none of the rest of the show, then that match itself will get a good quarter hour number, and maybe they will realize that this whole idea that these two guys are wrestling to set up a contender for gender is ridiculous. Maybe they should be the ones fighting for the actual title. That's how you make a difference, my friend.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be writing to the WWE and telling them why I never watched the show.
That's really? It. Can you CC me on these emails?
Yeah, I just can't.
Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. I'd like to read them as well.
Right, I'll copy you in, but I just can't believe looking down this India route when, as I said, cricket and kabaddi. I mean, come on, who watches that nonsense?
Well, 1.3 billion people. I want to thank you very much for the call. But I can tell you what they're not watching, which is the WWE Network or our website, apparently. Got a lot of text messages here.
Good.
All right. This person says, I thought that Brock was there until next April. Well, he is, but I mean, Vince can sign off on a match at any time and he can go fight for UFC. He's already done it once. He was under a WWE contract when he fought Mark Hunt. Vince let him go do it. This person says, my son is asking, why is Kalisto not part of the Cruiserweight division? Dude, don't ask me. You know how many questions I've got about this stupid Cruiserweight division that I can't answer? I mean, I'm a million.
205 Live.
Yeah, 205 Live. Why isn't he on there?
I don't know. Cruiserweight division.
He's busy there beating giants. You want to know why? It's because he beat Braun Strowman, and they were like, this guy should be a heavyweight. Now he goes in there and he gets killed by heavyweights every week. That's the answer.
Well, you need to have a Spike Dudley or somebody like that around to face Crash Holly, to face these other giants. So it makes complete sense in their mind because that's how wrestling does it.
This person says, my son has asked me numerous times. I'll pass his question on to you guys. Can Baron Corbin cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase for the Raw Universal title or only the SmackDown title? Well, your son would be confused by this answer, which is they can do whatever the hell they want. So I'll give you an answer that you can say to him. The briefcase is blue. Therefore, I think that he will cash it in for the blue brand's title. How about that?
Yeah, he won it on a SmackDown pay-per-view. It is about that title, although in the magical land of WWE, hey, anything can happen.
This person says, on Bring It to the Table, they had both Jones and Brock's exact quotes from Saturday night. All flowed seamless. Also notes that JBL buried Jim Ross at the beginning of Bring It to the Table, threw a bunch of JR barbecue sauce in the trash before he would start the show. Well, that's not very nice. This guy hasn't learned one lesson from everything that went down earlier this year.
Is it a Texas-Oklahoma thing? Or it is getting to be football season.
This person says it is. Got months. Well, one.
What?
I guess
Are
we
kidding
got,
me?
I got a couple weeks. Never mind.
Come on, bro.
Is the Hardy saying they are woken? They're a way to try to get around the broken gimmick. I believe so.
They woke.
I don't know if it's going to get over as big, but they're going to try. If you had a crystal ball, do you see WWE ever bringing Paige back? I say no, but JR's new blog said she belongs in WWE. Well, here's the thing. She's a star, and The Rock is producing a movie about her family's life. And so, yes, I think that unless like she gets charged with domestic violence or domestic whatever, I mean, if that happens, she's out of there because they have a very strict policy, allegedly. But if not, I mean, I do see them trying to bring her back. I saw Bring It to the Table, this person said. It should be canceled. Talking about their list of banned words, Cyborg versus Becky, John Cena having 1 foot out the door. Well, these are hot topics. They got to talk about them. I watched 1.0 hours of Raw because I didn't need to watch after the three-way. But when I watched Bring It to the Table, I wanted to cancel my sub. That show made me mad. Man, they're getting eviscerated today.
Is it that bad?
These are some hot takes, apparently, on the show.
Really? Heavens.
Brian Goodbrother at Sierra Leone, like the gorgeous Mandy Leon. Don't correct me.
Mm.
It's whatever I say it is, because I'm the host today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, go ahead.
This person says, you didn't let the Irish caller give his name again.
Scottish.
We don't know. I almost asked him, but I didn't want to know. It's such a mystery right now.
Maybe he's from like the borderline or something like that.
Watch him be like Canadian, and we're just all befuddled.
That's Oh, well, you know,
watch him be from Sierra Leone.
I was going to say, he's doing your Australian accent, I believe.
Maybe he is. This person says, maybe I'm calling myself on my own Skype and muting my mic when I ask the question. You ever thought about that?
So it's blowing my mind right now. Where's Ryan when I need him?
I was at a house show over the weekend. Noticed Baron Corbin's heel work has greatly improved. Do you see him as a potential bad SS babyface in a year or two? SS? What does
badass babyface. That's what he was going for. Didn't want to say it, though. It was too classy.
Oh, I see. So he's like Big Cass, who has to say the word posterior.
Well, remember for a little while.
At 10 o'clock at night on USA.
Was it Mr. A or B.A. Billy Gunn?
Both,
like that?
B.A. Yeah. Billy Gunn.
B.A.
I don't know. He could be a good babyface. I mean, here's the thing. When I watched, I've mentioned this 1,000 times. I don't care if you're sick of it. It's my show. When I watched Breaking Ground, I really saw something in Baron Corbin. I've never seen it on the main roster. But the point is, like, everybody else in the company sees what we saw on Breaking Ground because they're around him backstage every day. So I'm sure they think that there's something there. But he has not yet shown it on television. If you ask me, he's actually getting worse in some ways. But who knows? Maybe they can figure it out and he'll be a big star. They certainly would love that. This person says, I completely agree with the caller about bringing to the table. The crap that JBL says makes my blood boil. I bet that's John from Arkansas right there. I bet you anything that's him.
That's well, and look, let's be honest here, too. That's his job on that show, I am sure, to make your blood boil. So, if it's going to be one of those things where if you're going to complain about it but watch it every week, then there's nothing that's going to be accomplished there.
This person says, you think the reason Eric hasn't, or I'm sorry, this is from Eric. You think the reason Brock hasn't entered the testing pool yet is because he couldn't pass his first test? Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, once he's in, he's got to pass every test. So, I don't know. And he has failed before. That's why he's on suspension right now. This person says, after watching last night's Bring It to the Table, I am convinced that WWE releases propaganda content for their hardcore cult fans. Well, I immediately canceled my network account right after watching this dumpster fire.
Wow.
I may have to watch this show.
Well, look, now they're just going to have to give it to you free for 3 months because you did that.
That's right. You'll get it for free, so fear not. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. I got a DM here from this fella here. I am a viewer from India, and the country hates Jinder Mahal. Do you think they will take the title off Jinder Mahal?
Oh, no.
It ain't going to be for a while, my friend. I'm afraid it's not going to be for a while.
Kali didn't work?
I mean, anything can happen. I mean, things could change, but I don't think they're taking that title off the guy for a while. When this first happened, I was told that he will probably be champion through Mania. Now, granted, anything can happen. Vince can wake up one morning and look at the population of Sierra Leone and go, ha, who'd I got on the roster? Change his mind. Lickety split. But I don't think it's happening soon. So we're going to have to put up with this for a while here.
Hey, if your friend doesn't watch the show tonight and watch that Nakamura match, they're never going to make Nakamura champion.
This person says, I think WWE needs to cancel Bring It to the Table before they lose all their subscribers. Man, people hate that show. Bring It to the Table, this person says, is a joke. Wow. But that was John. He said, it wasn't me earlier, but I'll tell you right now, the show's a joke. Man.
Damn.
This person here says, oh, this is another good one. So, of course, they had the Punjabi prison, which, I mean, what is it for real? What's the Punjabi prison?
Well, a cage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Apparently, they weren't allowed to say cage.
This
person notes, between all three announcers at Battleground, they said the word structure 64 times in the Punjabi prison match. Oh, my God. We're out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening. Mike, as always, everybody in the studio, callers and listeners, every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sign up today for WrestlingObserver.com. You will have more audio than you could ever, ever deal with. So many members-only shows. You will not regret it. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live.